morning. Wow, what a morning. I really love being here with you. I really enjoyed the worship this morning. You sang a couple of my favorite songs, so I always appreciate that. It was really gratifying to me to see my brother on the drums. That was pretty cool. I wasn't paying attention, and then all of a sudden the drums got louder, and I was like, "That's Brian, that's awesome." So, you guys, most of you probably don't know it. Maybe none of you know it, but that was one of my ambitions to play the drums when I was like young, third or fourth grade. Anyway, I won't go down memory lane too much. As Jason said, I grew up in this church. I'm David's son, Brian's brother, and I had a lot of fond memories of this place. God used this church to lead me to Christ, to baptize me, to disciple me, and you guys, whether you know it or not, were a part of even my call. And so I thank you. And it's an honor to be here with you. I want you to turn in your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 11. So when I left here, I left to go to Virginia Tech, and I got a mechanical engineering degree. That took me down to Raleigh, North Carolina. I settled in a CMA church there because I had grown up in the CMA up here. And the Lord called me to be a youth pastor there. I became a youth pastor and worked at that for several years. And then the Lord moved me to a senior pastor position, really a solo pastor, in rural North Carolina, which growing up in suburban Pittsburgh was really culture shock for me. I ministered there for 10 years, and in the 10th year, I really felt like the Lord was stirring in my heart that there was something more for our family, and that He had something for us. And the Lord used this passage as one of the passages to call me to Clarkston, where we minister now. It says, by faith, verse 8 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. The Lord used that to call us to Clarkston. If you don't know anything about Clarkston, it's a town that's about 1.5 square miles, so it's small. It's right on the edge of Atlanta. right on the perimeter, the belt line that goes around Atlanta. And it is home to somewhere around 14,000 refugees. They call it the Ellis Island of the South. They call it the most diverse square mile in the world. There are people from nations, many of the nations that are in the 1040 window, which if you've been in an Alliance church, hopefully you know what the 1040 window is. Do you know it? Do you know? Okay, a handful of you. The 1040 window is the window of nations in the world kind of stretching across North Africa, the Middle East, India, Southeast Asia, this Indonesia. This is where the majority of the people groups of the world, the majority of the unreached people groups of the world live. And these are the people, and incidentally, this is also the area of the world where there's been probably the most conflict. A refugee, people are very confused with what refugee is. A refugee is not someone that's just come here on a boat and kind of smuggled their family in. A refugee is a political status. A refugee has fled their country because of persecution, because of war or religious persecution, and they have gone into a neighboring country to seek asylum. That country has said, we're not going to let you stay here, but we'll let you live here in this camp. So they are registered then with the United Nations as a refugee, and they can put their name into a lottery. And if they get picked, they get to be resettled in one of the nations in the world that accepts refugees. So the refugees that live in Clarkston are all here legally, and they have come here because of terrible circumstances in their own countries. And I believe that God brought them here so that they could hear the gospel. So as I was reading this chapter, as I was considering going to Clarkston, it's funny because at that point I knew that it was time for me to leave my church. But like I said, I didn't know where I was going after that. Angela's, my wife's father, had just bought the house next door to them, and they had offered us actually to come and live in that house next to them. And if you look in Genesis, where God actually called Abraham, he said, leave your father's house and your country and go to the land that I'm going to show you. I read that and I was like, "That's the Lord is saying, don't go to this house. You come out of your father's house and go to this land." I have moved progressively south. I never had any desire to live in the South. I was a Yankee. I made fun of the guys in my dorm that when I was in Virginia Tech. You know, they had their rebel flags and all that mess. And I was like, you know, we won, sorry. I never had a desire to go south. But the Lord has established us. My kids are all North Carolina, born and bred. My oldest one is a Panthers fan. Please forgive him. But I've tried to raise him in the Steelers tradition. But the Lord settled us down there. And this week, I was at a conference, and this is why this was fresh on my mind. I wanted to share this with you. You know, my director, Pete Brockup, some of you might know who he is. He's a big guy. He's a big guy in the Alliance. He grew up in Gabon. He spent a lot of his ministry in Burkina Faso, ministering there. And now he's with us in Atlanta. But I just lost my train of thought. So we were at this conference, and the speaker was saying, I know where I was going with Pete. Pete is a visionary, and Pete's vision for Clarkston, for the Atlanta metro areas, that we plant 1,000 house churches in the Atlanta metro area in the next, well, now it's 8 years. We started off with 10. We've been doing this for 2 years, so we've got 8 years left. I can still do math. But that terrified me at first. I thought, this guy's totally setting me up for failure. But honestly, the Lord has moved in my heart. I talked to a guy that's planting churches in Africa last year, and he said, oh, he's planted 70,000 house churches. I was like, wow, 1,000 doesn't seem too many compared to that. You know, so the Lord has recalibrated me and given me this vision. I believe that there will be 1,000 house churches in the Atlanta metro area. But this guy earlier this week was pointing out, these in verse 13, these died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. I believe that this will happen. One of our other goals in the next 10 years is to send 100 missionaries from Clarkson back to their home country. So to use these house churches to raise up leaders, to raise up missionaries that will reach their own people. That's exciting to me. But even if I don't receive that promise, even if we labor and that is not fulfilled, I've given my life to preach the gospel. I have made it my ambition, as Paul said in Romans, to preach the gospel. And there are not only unreached people groups in Clarkson, there are unengaged unreached people groups, which means that these people, this people group, does not only has no believers, there's no missionaries, there's no Bible in their language, there's nothing. One of these people groups I asked you to pray for was the Gari people. You're going through. So yes, God is opening doors with the Gari people. And so go ahead. So I asked you guys to pray for the Gari people in February. God brought this guy into my life as a result of your prayers. This is Darara Gubo, and he's Ethiopian. But the Gari people are mainly in Somalia, but they're also in Ethiopia and Kenya. And this guy speaks Oromo. His father was Muslim. He came to faith in Jesus Christ. And as a result, Darara came to faith in Jesus Christ. And I got in touch with him through his sister that was with me at a prayer conference at the church that we're attending. If that isn't God, I don't know what is. God just worked there. And so this guy says, yeah, I speak the Oromo language, which many of the Gari speak. And yeah, I'll be happy to help you to reach these people. So he and I started hanging out in coffee shops. And we got to share the gospel with a Gari person this summer. That guy didn't receive Christ, but the Lord is moving. So keep praying. If you committed to pray for the Gari people, please continue to pray. Can you go back all the way to the beginning? All right. I saw you guys looking back over my shoulder, so I should have known he was showing my slides. Okay, go ahead. So this is my family. I love this picture. This was taken earlier this year. I have 5 kids, as you can see. My oldest, Andrew, is 17. Abby is here with me. She's 15. Anna's over there. She is 13. Aaron is 10. And Ava Grace, in the middle of everything, just turned 7 last week. And, of course, my beautiful wife, Angela. So, go ahead. We need help. This, as I said, we have a huge vision. We have a huge mission here. But we need help. We need prayer warriors. We need generous givers. And we need interns and volunteers. Young people, if you want to do an internship, even if you want to do a gap year between high school and college, we had a young lady come from Wisconsin down to do a gap year. And she loved it so much that she stayed. And now she's going through a program called All Nations Institute, which is designed to be able to give you theological training. You'll graduate with a degree for about a third of the cost that it would, and it's all through Crown College. There's some local classes, but Lilburn Alliance Church, where we attend, has partnered with our Envision site to bring this about. Just a plug. So if you're young and what I love about what we're doing is for young people, it's an incredible way to see what your gifts are and what God has called you to do. We're doing so much in our Envision site. We're doing after school care. We're doing English as a second language. We're doing church planting. So we're really trying to, we have a broad scope of work, but that enables us to give people an opportunity to see, well, where do I fit? Go ahead. My family has really suffered physically this year. This is why we need prayer warriors. Please pray for us. Go to this next slide. My wife would kill me if she knew that I was showing this, so please don't tell her. She had her gallbladder out earlier this year. This is the happy side of her gallbladder surgery. After we came home, she spent 3 weeks in agony. I have never seen my wife suffer this much. She said it was worse than childbirth. And she knows childbirth. So she was literally in debilitating pain. It would come in waves, and the doctors really kind of, her surgeon even blew us off, and we just felt like it was an attack from the enemy trying to discourage us. So please pray for us. I got an ear infection right around July 4th, and it continued all the way until September. I had an ear infection for 2 months. We were out of the country for an Envision summit a couple weeks ago, and we got a call from my youngest daughter's school that she needed to be picked up. We made the arrangements with the lady that was staying with our kids. Turns out my daughter had E. coli. So we feel like as we are trying to push back darkness in Clarkston, the enemy is trying to take us out as a family. So please, 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 if you do nothing else, pray for us. We have prayer cards back there on the table. Take a prayer card, put it on your refrigerator, and pray for my family. Go ahead. Like I said, we're pressing into some of the darkest places in Clarkston. Go ahead. This is Brandon Hill's apartment. We knocked on the door of this apartment to invite them to come and have their eyes examined in an eye clinic we were putting on. and the door just opened. It wasn't latched. The door opened, and this is what we saw. And this is the norm in this particular apartment complex. It's called the worst neighborhood in America. I don't know if that's actually true, but it's bad. This is one of the buildings that was condemned. The county finally brought in big machines to tear it down, but there was prostitution, there was drug use. They were using this building for squatting, and it was a terrible situation. Go ahead. This is the outside of one of the buildings. You could see that porch is about to fall down. Go ahead. So we brought in 200 volunteers, and we cut down bushes, we mowed grass, we actually, go ahead to the next slide, we took that porch that was falling down and actually cut it off and put boards over it so that it wouldn't fall on somebody. We did a lot of things on the outside. There was actually a bush where some of the residents were telling us, this is where they all throw, the drug dealers throw their guns when the police come. So we took our chainsaws and buzzed the bush down. But there was more than one. And the drug dealers are still there. Hold on. So in Brandon Hill, I was really touched by the Lord recently going in there. I was with some ladies. And one of them actually exposed herself to me. Thankfully, I was with other people, and I saw what she was about to do, so I turned away. And she said, oh, he turned away. And as I was just talking to her, it just hit me. She has been so wounded. She has been so hurt and wounded inside that she thinks she has to live like this. And it struck me, the way that we're going to change Brandon Hill is by the Lord changing her heart and hearts of the people like her. That is why my family and I are in Clarkston, because we want to see, we want to help on the outside, but we want to see the Lord do his work on the inside. Go ahead now. So one of the cool things that we got to do this summer, we got to take 25 refugee kids to summer camp. There were churches that gave so that these kids could come, and half of them received Christ. There was a group photo. Go ahead to the next slide. This was my camp. I went as a counselor, and Israel, this boy right here, on my left, your right, right in front. He was one of the ones that received Christ. Angela actually got to minister to him one night. She gave him Takis, if you know what those are, they're hot chips. And he said, oh, the last time I had Takis, I had to go to the hospital, after he had taken a couple. And so Angela got alarmed and monitored him, but in the process, he shared some hurts about his family, and Angela was able to lead him to Christ. These guys have skills. That guy is balancing a water bottle on the back of his head. But these guys came with us to camp, and Enoch, the white guy on the right, is the son of one of our missionary families. He went as a counselor, and I just saw him coming alive. He was the middle school counselor for these boys, and he has continued to pour his life into them even as we've come back from camp. He is ministering to them. He picks them up to go to church. This is at one of our house churches. And so pray for Enoch. And these boys are David, Ruhisha, Dennis, and Dennis has a twin brother, Thomas. You might not remember. Just pray for the Congolese boys and for Enoch as he ministers to them. Go ahead. So we also had VBS, Vacation Bible Schools, that we put on in the different apartment complex. Mark and Cheryl Gross and me actually wrote the curriculum and taught it in these different complexes. Some of you know the Grossamys. They're Pennsylvania folks. And they saw over 100 kids pray to receive Jesus this summer. So in order to help disciple them, we started Kids House Church on Saturdays. Go ahead. This is me picking up some of the kids in our 15-passenger van. Go ahead. And we started in our basement. We finally finished our basement with the help of a church in North Carolina. And this is Angela teaching. So we had a large group teaching. Go ahead. And then we would break up into small groups, and the kids would ask questions and really dig into the Bible. And we went through the Gospel of John. At the end, we always have a meal, so we send them back home not only full of the word but full of food, which they love. Go ahead. So we were able to partner also with a team of eye doctors that came down from Philadelphia area. They examined over 200 patients a few weeks ago and also provided glasses for free of charge. This is a Sudanese lady that we have ministered to her family. She came through the eye exam, and then these were glasses that we were delivering to her. It's really cool. As we deliver, we see this as a church planting opportunity, because as we deliver the glasses, we don't just say, oh, here's your glasses, see ya. We go. A lot of times we're invited in. They're so grateful. This is a real need that they have. And they can't afford to see eye doctors and pay hundreds of dollars for glasses. So they're so grateful. And they invite us in. And one of my coworkers just texted me yesterday. Oh, we got to visit with an Ethiopian family today as we delivered glasses. They invited us in. They fed us lunch. And we stayed there for a couple of hours. And this is... the gospel gets to, we get to share the gospel because we build relationships. And one of the cool things that God did is, actually it was earlier this week, my family and I got to lead worship for the South Atlantic Pastors Conference. This has always been a love of mine to lead worship, and it's neat how God opens doors as we submit and surrender to him. Go ahead. One of the faith-stretching things that we're doing right now is we are buying a house in Clarkston that will serve as our headquarters, an after-school facility, and a place for our house churches to meet. Go ahead. This is the house, and go to the next slide. This is a metal building that's behind it. So housing is not easy to come by in Clarkston, as you can imagine. It's a small town. Most of the town is apartment complexes. But we found this house that's right across from English Oaks, where your team that came down stayed. This house is just across the railroad tracks. And it has this metal building. This guy was mixing paint finishes for automotive companies, and a number of commercial buyers were interested in this property, but the town actually zoned it so that only an after-school program could buy this house. And we thought, wow, it's like God was reserving this thing for us. But the total cost of it is $500,000. The South Atlantic District just came into a lot of money because they sold a church that had died for over $1 million. And they have given us $250,000 as seed money. We've been able to raise about $100,000 more. But if the Lord is working on your heart, I would love to take back some money. For this house. So we want to actually stretch this metal building on both ends. We're going to put additions on it and use it not only for our after school, but also for teaching English classes and for our house churches. We need a gathering place. Probably our children's house church that we showed you will move to this place. We also have plans to start a youth ministry in Clarkston. One of the things I've seen is there's so much boredom among the young boys, those boys that Enoch is ministering to. And gangs prey on that. They give them a sense of belonging. And so we want them to belong to the family of God. And we have an opportunity here. Incidentally, the city of Clarkston has closed down the after-school programs that we were doing because we don't have a physical address in Clarkston. My family lives in Clarkston, but we don't have a business address for our Envision site in Clarkston. And so they said, you have to have a business license. In order to have a business license, you have to have an address. And so we need this place in order to continue some of the ministries that we've been doing in Clarkston. This is my contact information if you'd like to partner with us. So back to Hebrews 11. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. The guy that was speaking at this conference pointed out there are three responses that we have in Christ. Three responses that we have when God calls us to do something. When God makes a promise, we can either rebel, we can resign, or we can surrender. And I know all three of those. There have been times in my life when I've rebelled against God. Some of the teenager stories that could be shared were part of when I was rebelling against God. And I praise God for my brother. He used you, Brian, he used the fire that you had as you were in high school to bring me out of that rebellious time that I was in. Thank you. I'll try not to cry. Resignation. You know, when things get hard and we feel like quitting, it's easy to just say, well, I know that I should do this. I'll go through the motions, but I don't expect anything to happen. I've been there. But the best and the only way to live and draw near to God in all of this is surrender. We have to surrender. So whatever the Lord is calling you to, I invite you with me to surrender. And in that light, I want to ask my daughter, Abby, to come up. And we want to, I know we're 1 minute past already, but Abby and I would like to share a song with you. To close, more like Jesus. Thanks.